to France. Yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
In recent weeks and months, the war of words between Washington and Pyongyang has reached its climax, spilling over into the UN General Assembly in September.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
트럼프는 상식과 정서가 온전치 못한 데로부터 우리 국가의 최고 존엄을 로켓과 결부하여 모독하려고 하였지만 오히려 그러하여 그는 전체 미국 땅이 우리 로켓의 방문을 더더욱 피할 수 없게 만드는 만회할 수 없는 과오를 저질렀습니다.
Over the past years, North Korea has been accused of nuclear brinkmanship while rejecting rapprochement, if any, from the White House. But the question is, why is North Korea so skeptical of the U.S., preferring to use a harsh military language than to extend the hand of friendship? There is no doubt that U.S.-led crippling sanctions, as well as its joint military drills with South Korea, right under the nose of North Korea, have inflamed anti-American sentiments. But why does the country hate the U.S. so much in the first place? The strained relationship between the two countries traces all the way back to the Korean War in 1950, when the U.S. intervened on behalf of South Korea. U.S. bombers dropped over 600,000 tons of bombs in Korea, destroying as much as they could, showing no mercy to the northern inhabitants. In fact, North Koreans remember very well what most Americans have long forgotten.
This museum is placed in a village that was the scene of part of American troops' crimes against Koreans during the war, a place filled with bitter memories in one of the bloodiest wars in the 20th century.
According to John Delury, an international relations professor at Yonsei University in Seoul, Korea is called the Forgotten War, and part of what has been forgotten is the utter ruin and devastation that we rained down on the North Korean people. The war continued for 3 years, after exacting a bloody toll. And it ended with an armistice, not with a peace treaty. Although the U.S. intervention in the Korean War inflicted collateral damage on North Korea, this is not the only reason for the nation to hate or distrust the Americans. In 1994, the U.S. and North Korea signed an agreed framework that froze Pyongyang's nuclear program. Under the terms of the 1994 framework, the North agreed to freeze and dismantle its nuclear program in exchange for the full normalization of political and economic relations with the United States. This meant four things. By 2003, a U.S.-led consortium would build two light-water nuclear reactors in North Korea to compensate for the loss of nuclear power. Until then, the U.S. would supply the North with 500,000 tons per year of heavy fuel. The U.S. would lift sanctions, remove North Korea from its list of state sponsors of terrorism, and normalize the political relationship. And finally, both sides would provide formal assurances against the threat or use of nuclear weapons. For a while, things went well. In 1998, U.S. officials involved in the implementation of the agreement testified that there had been no fundamental violation of any aspect of the framework agreement by North Korea.
You have not shown me anyone that I could talk to.
That is the device
that would give me any indication whatsoever that you can build a nuclear device. The response was, well, you know, you saw our people at Yongbyon. From their technical competence, can't you tell? And from the facilities? And I said, absolutely not.
But Washington failed to honor its own promises. The light water reactors were never built, and heavy fuel shipments were often delayed. Russ Deming, Assistant Secretary of State, told Congress that, to be frank, we have in past years not always met the fuel year deadline. Robert Gallucci, a diplomat who had negotiated the framework, warned that it could fail unless the U.S. did what it said it would do, which is to take responsibility for the delivery of the heavy fuel oil.
This is the official letter of commitment sent by former U.S. President Bill Clinton in 1994, in which he committed and confirmed that he will use his full power to facilitate the building, financing, and construction of a light water nuclear reactor inside the DPRK, a promise that was never materialized.
In addition, North Korea was not removed from the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism until 2008, though it had long met the criteria for removal. Needless to say, the deal never eased U.S. sanctions on the country.
우리에게 끼친 손해를 경수로 제공 협정의 해당 의무 사항에 따라 깨끗이 보상하여야 할 것이다. 우리는 이에 대하여 끝까지 계산할 것이며 이 문제가 낙착되기 전에는 경수로 건설을 위하여 금호지구에 들여온 장비, 설비, 자재와 기술 문건들의 모든 반출을 절대로 허용하지 않을 것이다.
The agreement finally broke down in 2002. As Gallucci told the Congressional Committee, the North Koreans have always been disappointed that more has not been done by the U.S. Most importantly, nothing was done to formally end the Korean War by replacing the 1953 ceasefire with a peace treaty. In the meantime, the Clinton administration insisted on labeling North Korea a rogue state. The situation only deteriorated under the next U.S. president, George W. Bush, as he called North Korea part of the axis of evil.
North Korea is a regime arming with missiles and weapons of mass destruction while starving its citizens. States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil.
The Bush administration listed North Korea as one country the U.S. might have to use nuclear weapons against.
Well, North Korea thinks that the U.S. is pursuing a regime change policy, that the objective of the Bush administration is really to put economic squeeze on North Korea and bring down the Kim Jong-il regime, which of course President Bush said was part of the axis of evil.
To date, the U.S. has 28,500 troops stationed across 11 U.S. military bases in South Korea. And the two countries continue with their joint annual military exercises off the coast of the Korean Peninsula, threatening North Korean national sovereignty. In an interview with the Associated Press, North Korea's former foreign minister, Ri Soo-young, said, "Stop the nuclear war exercises in the Korean Peninsula. Then we should also cease our nuclear tests." In hindsight, one thing is crystal clear. The U.S. was never truly committed to the agreed framework. The 1994 story was in fact a cautionary tale for Pyongyang to remain deeply skeptical of the U.S. and its political intrigues whatsoever.